Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Believe it or not, it's already Thursday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs do go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so if you didn't make it over there to check out the blog yesterday, don't worry about it. It's still right there for you. Swing on by, take a look at it. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead, hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan Z-Man with three E's.
Oh, all right. Well, you know, Dan, I we've talked about multiple times. I've been, you know, playing FanDuel. I've been doing the nickel quarter thing and spending my $10. And, you know, I was going through some of the research today. And since I've been entering two lineups, I don't like to use the same pitcher in both lineups. I kind of like to have a different idea. So Yu Darvish looked like he's supposed to be the best pitcher tonight. So I plugged him in one lineup, and then when I was, you know, looking around, the other guy who was really getting big props was Anthony DeSclafani. Now, he's, you know, the Reds pitcher. I believe he's 3 or 4 in the rotation. And I thought, well, you know, he's got a really affordable price tag. I'm going to go ahead and take a shot with him and, you know, try to build an offensive lineup around him. So the Reds, and he's playing the Pirates, who, of course, I believe have, if not the worst, one of the worst records in baseball. So the game happens to be on MLB Network at 4 o'clock. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I can watch a couple innings before it's time for the podcast. So I go on out. And, of course, you know, they don't start on time. That's just natural. So I'm sitting there, and it's the top of the first. Like, okay, well, here we go. And the Pirates leadoff hitter hits a home run. Well, that's not a good start for my guy. But, okay, no problem. You know, he settles down. He gets the next two guys. He gets a strikeout. And then Colin Moran comes up and hits a solo home run. I'm like, well, this really isn't working my way. But then he gets out of that after that. I'm thinking, okay, you know, maybe just a little jitters or something. Maybe he's not off to a good start. So the second inning rolls around, and Gregory Polanco hits a home run. I'm like, well, now he's given up. At least he's only given up solo shots. And then Eric Gonzalez doubled and ended up scoring. So it is now 4-0 in the second inning. Technically, it's been an inning and a third. My guy's given up 5 hits, 4 runs already. So I'm going to guess that FanDuel lineup, Dan, is not going to win any money.
No, I wouldn't think so.
You know, unless he settles down and strikes out like 9 more hitters and can get to double digits, yeah, I'm in a lot of trouble there. So I was like, well, you know, and again, you know, it was 25 cents or whatever, so it's not that big a deal. But I'm kind of like, yeah, I can roll that lineup out. So I'm now rooting for Yu Darvish to win.
Go you!
So, yes, that's what I'll be cheering later when that – I think that game starts as soon as you and I get done. So I'll be able to sit down and cheer for you and me both. Oh, wait. So, I did learn something very important. Did you happen to watch the Mets-Nationals game by any chance on MLB Network? Did you have it on while you were working?
No, I'm getting stuck on these late games. I keep forgetting.
Well, you trust me.
I'm not in the groove for day baseball.
You made the correct decision because I learned today that I hate somebody calling a game more than Michael Kay. This game, Dan, was, you know, it was the Mets and the Nationals, and it was the MLB Network Sabermetrics Showcase game. So Brian Kenny was doing commentary on the game. Dan, if I lived in New Jersey, I would have driven to the MLB studios and murdered him. Bottom line, you know, it's just ridiculous listening to this guy. And all I sit there and keep thinking is, you know, they're probably paying him, what, $500,000 a year to do this job?
Yeah.
And it's just like, really? It's like, you've got to be kidding me. You know, and it actually got to the point where I muted it and put the game on the, you know, the MLB app on Alexa.
Well, and that's what I was going to say, Big Jack. And I'm sitting over here thinking, why the hell are you watching MLB Network when you have access to MLB.tv?
Well, I was in the living room. I don't have it. You know, I didn't have my tablet with me. Hey, I had a long day, okay? I'm not really functioning at the highest level right now. So
yeah.
I'm just happy I'm still awake to be here.
I think it's time that we get you a Roku stick for your living room. You know, and not, I guess, shameless plug here. But, you know, one of the things I do love, you can get back into your rant, about MLB.tv, especially the app for Roku, and I'm assuming it's the same for, you know, other services, Fire Stick and Apple and whatnot, but I always go with Roku because, you know, when Amazon and Google and all them get in fights, Roku doesn't care. They have everybody. But when you watch a game on MLB.tv, you know, like right now, well, you know, if you're out of the state of Illinois and you want to watch the Cubs and you're like Big Jack and I and you cannot stand listening to Len and JD, the beautiful thing that they do is they offer where you can watch the broadcast, the television broadcast, but listen, pick your announcers. So, like, I mean, you can even, you know, watch the TV broadcast and listen to the Spanish announce team. And if you're a big enough jerk, you could just pull out your drone and fly it over the stadium and then cause a delay in the game because they'll stop playing, because that's actually happening right now in Boston. I don't have the sound on, but, yeah, it was pretty interesting. They kept showing shots of a drone, and nobody was on the field. So I don't know if they were all in fear of getting bombed or corona-bombed. But, you know, yeah, that's one of the cool things about MLB.tv. If you're not a subscriber and you love baseball, I think I highly recommend you doing it, and then you get a lot more options. So there's that. We'll have to get you a Roku stick for the living room, Big Jack.
Yeah, no, that is one of the things I enjoy, is being able to pick who I want to listen to. So that, you know, I think that's a big plus. But, yeah, no, you know, like I said, it's been, you know, it's been a rough day. So, I'm just kind of, you know, I'm kind of ambling along and just hopefully, you know, managing to get through. So. We will see how that goes. But, yeah, humorously, you know, before this game started, I was listening to the guys doing the setup, and they were all trying to find ways to defend their pick of the Reds winning the Central. You know, because obviously they're off to an incredibly terrible start. You know, and they were the trendy pick coming into this year. So yeah, it's kind of funny listening to these guys because they're all scrambling, you know, looking for reasons on why, you know, why they're not winning and, you know, what they need to do and, you know, well, this should have happened and that should have happened. And it's just kind of funny listening to them try to cover their rear ends, you know, on a pick that they made so early on. And it just makes me laugh.
No. And I mean, that's the thing. And I'm not going to say you and I are better than anybody, but I don't even understand. But, you know, when things like that happen, I mean, I think you and I, when you broke down the Reds, you know, it was exciting. It sounded exciting, right? Like the players they got, you know, listening to Sonny Gray, and they've got that hotshot closer. He's still with them, that young man that was throwing like Aroldis Chapman's digits. But
yeah,
all
yeah,
this stuff, you know, I mean, you did a great job in, you know, kind of putting excitement in when you were listing off who's on that team and what's going on. But I still think at just evaluating it and knowing how the game plays out, the excitement was highly premature. And it's exciting, you know, it's of course exciting to talk about a team and what they can do, but when they don't have anything to base it off of, then how can you really fully get behind picking them? You know, when you look at the Cubs, you know, you got to wonder, was it because they were wondering about a new, you know, not only just a new manager, but a new manager to the league. If they took that into consideration, but when you're looking at a staff that's been together, you're not expecting them to go from, you know, first to worst, despite Hakoda projections every year always have them doing a lot worse than they have been. You know, so there's that part of it. And, you know, I think that's why, well, we didn't do any picks this year because, you know, I thought about it. We should have maybe talked about it, but at the same time, neither you or I, and I don't know Schomburg's Stute's feelings, but it's not a hugely exciting season to make picks on.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it, like you said, it's funny, but was there any excuse or any reasoning behind maybe trying to backtrack on their Cincinnati Reds?
Well, you know, they use the kind of typical thing, you know, the bullpen is struggling and, you know, they need to get the roles in place and, you know, they wouldn't be surprised to see them run off, you know, 8 or 10 in a row and get right back in it. And, you know, so it was just kind of, like I said, it was just kind of humorous, you know, listening to them. And I was like, yeah, you know, you guys got in over your head and you got all excited, you know, about a team because everybody else got all excited about it. And, you know, you didn't think to look at, you know, who they're going to be playing and what they're going to be doing. And, I mean, you and I went over it, you know, just literally how disappointing the Cubs are. And they finally seem to be playing to their potential. And, mm-hmm. You know, and I mean, this just kind of brings me back to the point of, is Joe Maddon really a great manager?
You know, and it's funny. I'll backtrack to when, you know, Uncle Bob was around, man. You remember, I mean, they could have spoon-fed him, and he would have ate up anything Theo, Joe, and everybody said. But, you know, one of the things he had did was, in his own words, he taped the World Series from the Cubs win. For you millennials and generation after millennial, that means he DVR'd or just saved it, whatever you want to call it. I don't know what we call it anymore. But, yeah, and he would rewatch it. And, you know, a year and a half, 2 years later, he's like, you know, I'm watching this team play today, and I watch the World Series. And he's like, the more I watch it, the more I realize the Cubs, the players won that World Series. Their manager almost outmanaged himself out of the World Series win. And it was, like, funny to me because, you know, he just kept going on and on about it. And I'm like, you know, and then he became I wouldn't say a Joe hater, but just kind of wondering what the hell is this guy doing? You know, he doesn't trust his pitchers. He doesn't trust his hitters. You know, so it was like, how do you get across to Joe and how can you win when he doesn't trust you? And I think it was kind of proven because they peaked and then they slowly fell off. And, you know, you always bring up the fact that a manager is plus or minus 10 games, you know, meaning a manager can, you know, push an outcome negatively or positively, you know, 10 games up or 10 games down. And I think that, you know, Joe's lack of trust in Kyle Hendrick and then, you know, a couple other fielder players kind of put him in the negative, and which knocked him out of a playoff run. I mean, you know, I'll say it a million times, you know, you had said they give you either 10 games plus or 10 games minus. Well, I think it's fairly evident when you're going into the playoffs and you have to go into a game 163 and then you get knocked out. Well, if you hadn't, you know, subtracted those 10 losses, they were ads, they wouldn't have even been in that position.
Yeah, you know, I wonder, looking at, you know, Madden's track record as a manager, if he's just that kind of guy who has the shtick that works better with, you know, young players, you know, non-veteran players. You know, because, I mean, he had a lot of success in Tampa, you know, with, you know, let's face it, with teams that really, you know, were really young and weren't expected to do too much. You know, and I mean, you know, while he didn't win a World Series there, he did get there with them, which is a huge accomplishment when you look at their payroll. You know, he also made three other playoff appearances with them. And, you know, when he got in with the Cubs, you know, those guys were young. You know, Bryant was a rookie. Baez was a rookie. You know, I'm sure, you know, Wilson Contreras. You know,
Schwarber.
They had a lot of young, yeah, Schwarber, a lot of young talent. You mentioned Kyle Hendricks. You know, so it was a group of really young guys. And, you know, in his second year there, they win the World Series. You know, they did make three playoff appearances with him, but they only had one successful run. So, you know, you just kind of wonder, you know, because now you look at what he's doing with the Angels, which is a veteran team with a lot of talent. You know, I mean, when you run down the Angels roster, there is a boatload of talent on it. And, you know, they're off to, I think they're off to like a 5-11 start. And, you know, you just got to wonder if maybe the veteran guys don't buy the trickery, you know, that he kind of uses, or that, you know, they don't buy his shtick. So it's going to be kind of curious to see how this works out, you know, with the Angels, because I'm trying to remember, I think, he got 3 years there. So it'll be interesting to see if he makes it through all 3 years.
Yeah. Well, you know, and another part of it is, and I think you're pretty valid in what you say about working or not being able to work with veteran players, because, you know, prior to last season, he made the comment about purchasing a book on how to deal with millennials.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You know, and when you hear that as a player, you know, imagine your 25-year-old Chris Bryant or Schwarber, these guys. You know, let's go just Bryant and Rizzo, because they see, you know, I think they have more confidence and just establish themselves better, and you're kind of sitting there, and all of a sudden you hear this. I mean, how hard do your eyes roll, and how much more do you really want to play for this guy?
Yeah, it's, you know, you do have to kind of start to question, you know, how hard am I going to play? You know, what's this guy going to do for me? So it's, you know, it's definitely an interesting scenario with this, you know, with what the Cubs were and where he is now. So I don't know. I'll be interested to see how that works out and if he makes it, you know, the entire time he's contracted with the Angels. So, but yeah, I think you and I spent just about a whole podcast. Well, I think you spent the whole podcast listening to me complain about how disappointing the Cubs were. But, you know, I had some good numbers about how they should have won and what they should have done, you know, and how disappointing it is that they only have the one World Series. You know, and obviously that was his responsibility.
You know,
and again, like I said, you know, you go now and you start to look and, you know, what's the problem with the Angels? You know, they got him, they got him one of the best free agents on the market. You know, they brought Anthony Rendon in. He's got the best player in the game. You know, in Mike Trout, obviously. You know, they've got Ohtani, who obviously isn't a pitcher but can still hit. So, you know, I mean, when do we kind of stop looking at the team and we start looking at Madden and going, what are you doing? You know, and I was a couple games off. The Angels are actually 7-12 at this point. So, but yeah, what are they? Here you go. Even better, Dan. They're only a half a game ahead of the Mariners. Otherwise, they would be in last place in the Western, in the AL West. So. You know, I mean, if that's not disappointing, I don't know what is. You know, I don't really kind of understand. You know, what else do we have to look at when it comes to it? So. You know, but you know, we'll see. You know, and obviously, you know, right now the Cubs are rolling along. You know, I mean, percentage wise, I think they have the best record in baseball at 12-3. You know, I think, you know, the A's have one more win at 13, and there are a couple other 12 win teams, but, you know, the Cubs only have the three losses, so they're right there. But, you know, yeah, you kind of wonder. I mean, you know, David Ross is a little bit off the Joe Madden tree. And you wonder what, you know, you kind of wonder what the difference is. You know, why does it seem to be working so much better, you know, with a new guy who has zero managerial experience that didn't work for a guy that had all this, you know, all this experience and all these playoff runs? Well, I don't know. You got an idea why it didn't work?
With Joe?
Sure, with anybody. With Joe, with Ozzy, with Rio. With that.
I mean, I don't think it's neither here nor there. Can't go back a whole lot, but I don't know. It's very hard. I mean, when you look at the Cubs now, you know, Theo did everything based off of draft and trying to do this new thing. And then, you know, ignoring I don't know if there's another better word for ignoring, but just like ignoring the talent that you already had. And because they're not your guys, they're expendable. And that's where I kind of have an issue. I mean, you know, Javi's dead set at shortstop. Finally, the kid has a single position. But, you know, who should have been in that spot to begin with? Starlin Castro. But again, you know, Castro could have been at third base, but we got Bryant, no big deal. What was the main position Castro could have been playing? And I think the tandem would have been amazing, would have been Castro and Baez, be it. Well, you know, looking at it now, obviously, Baez is the shortstop, you know, and it has to do with, I think, snagging the runners, the stolen bases. And I know that part of the game doesn't count anymore, but I still think it's huge. And the way he performs, it's amazing, and he gets those guys. Where you got a guy like John Lester that anyone can steal on, but the numbers aren't there anymore. Because of Wilson and David Ross, you know, and then hobbies. So, I mean, if you look at it, they could have easily stuck with Starlin Castro and not even bothered to make that trade for Addison Russell. But Theo already had his mindset. Castro wasn't his guy. And he wanted to go after Addison. You know, and what did Addison really, you know, I'm not going to take anything away from his talent, but as far as, you know, in Theo's mind, how did that play out? Well, all that mattered to Theo at the time was high draft pick. You take Addison Russell's name out of it, put his draft pick number there and that position, you could fill it anybody's name. And Theo would have went after it simply because draft pick, position, that's it. You know, so, I mean, that was a killer mistake there. And that's the thing. The league, I don't know if it was, you know, and you don't know who totally comes up with these things, but when you look at the league, the players' union, they caught on to Theo's way, and they completely restructured the CBA so that Theo can't do what he's been doing. And that's why I think these next 3 years will be amazingly interesting, because he doesn't have his format anymore.
To be fair to Addison Russell, out of those three players, he's the best defensive shortstop.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to, you know, Baez, Castro, or Russell, you know, Baez is obviously the flashiest one. You know, he's going to make the spectacular play. But when it comes to overall being the best defender, Addison Russell is the best defender out of the three. He may also be the worst hitter out of the three.
Yeah.
But, you know, he is the best defender. And, you know, to be honest, I'm really kind of surprised he didn't get a second chance. Maybe next year with, you know, a full spring training and hopefully a full baseball schedule, somebody will give him another opportunity, kind of along the lines of Yasiel Puig. I hope Puig gets another chance next year because, you know, he's an extremely talented player who belongs in the major leagues. It'll be interesting to see how things kind of play out with Russell because I understand, you know, he made a mistake. But, you know, there's a lot of guys who made the same mistake Russell did that went right back into the league, you know, after they were suspended. You know, Roberto Osuna is one of them. He was with the Toronto Blue Jays at the time. Now, they moved him to the Astros after he finished his suspension. But, you know, nobody really was as derogatory to him as they were to Addison Russell. You know, and I believe Osuna was actually – I'm not sure if I'm correct on this, but I believe he – I don't know if he was convicted or maybe pleaded no contest to a charge, where I don't believe Russell was ever convicted of anything. You know, but, you always tell people to, you know, what they've got to do. It's kind of odd how, you know, it goes one way for one guy, but then another way for another guy, and, you know, they have parallels. But, you know, not exact, and it's just kind of like, man, you know, I guess maybe society had changed by the time Russell's accusations came around. So, you know, teams had to be harsher with him. At least that's what I'm guessing. Does that make sense? I'm all over the place.
Yeah, I think that is a kind of a big thing. You know, that's a big part of it, but at the same time, you know, like we discussed, Theo had no issue after Aroldis Chapman's thing on bringing him in, backing him as a player, and the Cubs winning a World Series. But when it came to your guy, you know, that's the one thing that kills me. They made no effort to get behind Addison Russell, his ex-wife, now ex-wife, and kind of get out in front of the situation. They stayed in the background. They kind of let it play out on its own and didn't bother to get behind their guy. They didn't bother to get behind their guy. They didn't bother to kind of put it out there that they're making moves to get him help, any of that stuff. They were just like, ooh, we're off. We're off of this, you know. We put it all into him, and now we're just going to let it fizzle out. And, you know, that was the biggest problem is whether you look at it from that aspect or even the business aspect of it, by not getting behind him and not making those steps to turn this negative into a positive, they lost out 100% because what ended up happening to Addison Russell, the Chicago Cubs? Wasn't he just rule five? Or yeah, I don't know. Can you do that with him? I don't know if you could. But he was basically...
He was not...
Oh, non-tendered. So, I mean,
yeah.
There you go. You took a young man with a lot of talent that screwed up, made a huge mistake. You failed to get behind it, get ahead of it, turn it into a positive or try to, and then you, in the end, got nothing for it.
Yeah.
So, in my eyes, bad decision all around.
All right. Well, hey, that's interesting because speaking of bad decisions, Dan, I don't know if you caught this article or maybe you're an Instagram guy and you sat down and watched the 6-minute video that Zach put out, but he came out and said that he feels himself and his teammate Mike Clevinger are being unfairly portrayed as bad people. All right, now if you're not up on the story, here's the deal. Plesac made a start against the White Sox on Saturday. After the game, him and Clevinger broke team curfew and left the hotel to go out to dinner and socialize with a group of Plesac's friends. All right, now obviously this is against everything Major League Baseball is telling players to do. When the Indians were notified, they were only notified about Plesac. So he was immediately given a car and was sent home. He actually had to drive himself from Chicago to Cleveland. So that was a fun little drive. Clevinger never admitted to being out with Plesac and actually flew home with the team. Now, luckily so far, there have been no positive COVID-19 tests for the Indians. But, you know, obviously players were a little upset. Adam Plutko said that, you know, the quote he used had hurt us bad, and that they lied to them. And even the Indians manager came out, you know, Terry Francona, and said that, you know, they've got some trust to earn back, and they're going to have to earn that back. All right, now, Plesac turns and blames all this on the media, Dan. You ready? Here's his quote. "The media is terrible, man. They do some evil things to create stories and make things sound better and make things sound worse." Dan, did the media break MLB curfew and go out and hang out in a bar or restaurant in the middle of a pandemic when they were asked not to?
Well, and here's the first thing. How old are you and where the hell have you been? Because that's basically what the media does for everything. That's essentially their job. Have you not watched any presidential campaign over the last 25 years? I don't know how far that goes back, but so there, you know, answering your question on that part first, it's like, wow, feel sorry for him because the light bulb obviously doesn't go off that often. But number two, You're fully correct. I mean, they did it, not the media.
Yeah. And, you know, he tries to defend himself by saying they were within CDC guidelines when they left the team hotel, and they were never with more than 8 people the entire night. He goes on to say that it breaks his heart for people to think I'm a bad teammate or a bad person. I don't know if maybe bad person would be the way. I would think maybe selfish, you know, might be the description, you know, and I'm trying to remember if he mentioned how it hurt the team or something like that. Well, the one thing I can answer to that is Clevinger missed the start against the Cubs and they lost. And Clevinger is one of the better pitchers. They may have won that game had he had made a scheduled start. So...
Well, I don't know because, you know, Jason Hayward would have gave a good speech that day.
Yeah, no, well, you know, I know the Cubs were playing really well. But when you look at it, you know, would you rather have Mike Clevinger starting against them or Adam Plutko?
Yeah. Well, no, I was just being a smart ass.
Well, I know, but, you know, I mean, it just kind of makes sense that way. And you know, the fact that, you know, Plesak, you know, he's going to miss a start here coming up. Clevinger may miss the second start because I believe they have to have a 10-day quarantine. He does say that they have, you know, neither has had a positive test, which is good because, it really looks like, you know, the Indians dodged a bullet and this could have gotten really ugly. And it's, you know, I get it. It's got to suck. You know, you're on the road. You're basically confined to the hotel. You know, but he did have the option to opt out. He could have chosen not to play. But, you know, he decided to play, and these are the rules you have to follow if you want to play. So, I don't have a lot of sympathy for this guy, Dan. And, you know, again, like, I don't think he's a bad person. You know, I can understand why his teammates may think he's a bad teammate. I can see that one because, you know, if this had happened to a team I have been on in any effect like that, there would have been an issue. You know, like I said, I don't think he's a bad person. I just think he was selfish, you know, and maybe a little young and stupid, you know, might be kind of a way to look at it because I believe he's only, what is he? He's only 26, 27. I don't think he's very old. So, you know, I just don't think he made a, you know, he made a good decision. And, you know, unfortunately, it, you know, he got caught. You know, you wonder if anybody would have said anything if he didn't get caught. Oh, he's 25. No. I was still off. So.
Well, you know, and that's the other thing, Big Jack, is, you know, it's all coming out against him. But at the end of the day, you know, kind of cycle back to when we wrestled and we had our one, you know, the one company we worked for. And, you know, those were the days when we all went out afterwards and this and that. And, you know, there were guys on our roster that, you know, after, you know, play fighting and beating each other up in the ring. And, you know, 5-6 beers later, we're looking to have a real fight. And the negative for that would be if, you know, I'll just say the chef, if the chef would have gotten into a fight, it wouldn't have just been him. You know, a lot of us would have had to, you know, kind of resolve things, you know, whatever it is. But at the end of the day, the place we were at, they wouldn't go, oh, he's the bad guy. They would say that whole group is the bad guy, and we don't want them back at our establishment. You know, kind of going along with what you said about being a bad teammate. And you know what I'm talking about, and that comes with Clevinger because it'll look bad on him. But then, you know, to people that aren't, you know, follow the sports as much as you and I do, they're not going to look at Mike Clevinger. They're going to be like, who? All they're going to say is, man, this Indians team, you know, number one, they need to change their name because of, you know, political PC in this day and age, but man, that Indians team, they're just a bunch of, I don't even know what the term is, you know, non-rule followers or what do we call them? What do we call them, you know? Yeah, the rule breakers. You know, they would think, oh, this is that team from the movies. It's from Major League.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, what's even weirder about this is I think in reality – Clevinger is actually worse in this situation than Plesak because he didn't fess up and actually flew home with the team. You know, he would have been the guy, if he had actually contracted COVID-19, he would have been the one who had the opportunity to pass it on to every one of his teammates. You know, Plesak was in a car driving home by himself. He wasn't going to infect anybody. So, yeah, I really think Clevinger is the guy that, you know, really kind of looks like a gigantic ass in this situation. So, you know, I don't know. Does that make sense? Do you think so, or where are you?
Yeah. I'm pretty much in the same boat. I mean, it is what it is. You know, now he's on the – added to the 100 guys that are on the IL, right?
Yeah, I have like just throw him. Yeah, throw him on the list of, you know, whoever else is still there, and you know, when the hell are they coming back? But that's like, geez, really? So, but you know, again, like, you know, like I said, luckily there have been no positive tests for the Indians so far, you know, and it's worked out well, you know, as well as it could, I guess we could say, considering what the hell happened.
Yeah, and they're no longer. Well, and I don't know. It's just a crazy situation because when you think about that, you know, had he Clevinger tested, riding home with the team, you know, how long would the whole team have been on quarantine?
Right, they would have been the Cardinals. So.
You know, and I mean, even now, people are questioning why the hell there's a doubleheader for the White Sox and the Cardinals. Well, it's like, dude, they need to get the games over with.
Yeah, they've got to find a way to play those games. What are they doing? Are they playing tomorrow's game in St. Louis, or did they decide to wait till Saturday?
I don't even know. I just kind of was listening to the radio earlier today.
Yeah, because I saw, you know, it listed, because they have the game still listed as tomorrow. For some reason, they have the Baltimore-Washington game listed as suspended for tomorrow. So I don't know what happened there yet. But they have the White Sox and the Cardinals on the schedule. So I don't know if they're going to, you know, maybe that's just the Saturday doubleheader is going to be that game. Is how that's going to work out. But, yeah, I mean, they, you know, the Cardinals have got to play. You know, they've got to start playing games. And, you know, unfortunately, like, they missed a doubleheader today. They were supposed to have a doubleheader against the Tigers. You know, that whole series was canceled. They had a whole series canceled against the Pirates, against the Cubs. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just going to be a fiasco, you know, with this Cardinal team. So, you know, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do to get these games in and get them as close to 60 as possible. We'll see how it works out.
Oh, you were breaking up. I forgot to mute myself.
I said I'm not confident that the Cardinals are going to get to 60 games. Are you?
No. I mean, not only that, getting to 60 games, and, you know, this is one of the reasons I just was not for this season. You know, I think if we could have been able to get a season started in early June, you know, and they weren't fighting all over their money, it would have been a different, you know, a bit different story. And it wouldn't have been such a scramble. But now they're in a huge scramble.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, if they could have started when it looked like they had an agreement, you know, it would have been a different story. But the fact that they kind of, you know, basically jerked things around, yeah, it's just not a deal. But here you go, Dan. Here's an update for you. The Pirates are now beating the Reds 9-1. So I'm going to have to look at the box score and see. I'm going to guess my pitcher is out by now. So I'm going to take a look at the box score here and see exactly what his numbers are, because I'm guessing this is just a nightmare scenario. And by the way, the Red Sox are getting their tails kicked again. They're losing to Tampa Bay 10-4. Those are the two games that are going now because Baltimore and Philadelphia are in a rain delay. So, oh boy. All right, Dan, here's the box score. You ready? He lasted just two innings, gave up 9 hits, 9 runs, walked 2, struck out 1, and gave up 3 home runs. I think that's negative points on FanDuel, isn't it?
Yeah, they do negative points.
It could be. So, oh, boy. That's that was a hell of a pick. So I'd like to thank the fantasy websites I was reading for that one, because, you know, I'll take most of the blame because I have to make the pick, but I you know, they thought he was a really good value and a good buy against the 3-13 team, and yeah, I ate that one. So kind of how it goes. So Dan, I can also tell you, it looks like the Blackhawks are already losing 1-0 in the first period. Are they going to, you know, it was cool that they got into the playoffs, but are they going to get swept out by Vegas?
I'm under the impression that they will.
So, yeah, I didn't realize they've lost like 9 of their last 10 games. Oh, and Vegas just scored again while I was talking to you. So now it's 2-0. So, yeah, that's slowly but surely going downhill. Have you managed to get yourself around to watching any of the hockey now that they're kind of back to the normal playoff scenario?
No, I can't get into it. You know, the games are, some of them are played super early. Just the timing of them is awkward. Yeah. Timing's awkward. Being a little nicer out, we've been doing stuff outside. So, you know, any kind of prime time, we're not even, you know, tuning into. So, and when I am, I'm watching baseball.
Yeah. Well, you know, I did have my favorite thing. You know, I mean, you know how much, you know, I'm in love with the media as it is. And I got to listen to him complain. You know, one of the coolest things about hockey, you know, especially in the playoffs, is overtime. You know, because you play till there's a winner. You know, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You play and you go until we figure out who wins this damn game, and we don't care how long it takes. But you know, we're gonna get a winner. Well, other day, and I'm trying to find the game here, they went 5 overtime. Yeah. I read like both goalies stopped. Like, yeah, here it is. The Lightning beat the Blue Jackets 3-2 in 5 overtime. The goalie for the Blue Jackets made 85 saves. You know, I mean, you know, obviously it was a long game. You know, you're getting 5 overtimes, but it's the playoffs. You know, you don't want a playoff game decided on shootouts or anything like that. That's for the regular season. So what happens, Dan? The media gets on the next day and starts complaining that, oh, it's too long. They've got to do something about this. I can't believe this game lasted 5 overtimes. And I get paid a lot of money to cover it, but I didn't want to stay there that long to do it or watch it on TV because you're probably not at the damn game. You know, Dan, these guys drive me nuts. They got cushy jobs, and why is it the guys with the cushiest jobs bitch the most? What did they expect the NHL to do? It's a playoff game.
Speed it up. Call timeout or something.
You know, we line the guys up on one end of the ice, and the fastest skater, his team wins. You know, you have a relay race or something, and whichever team wins the relay, they win.
Yep.
You know. But yeah, it just makes me laugh when I'm listening to these guys. Just they cry like babies. You know, it's like, those games are normally the best games to watch. You know, you get those 2, 3, 4, and in this case, 5 overtime games. You know, that's exciting because, you know, at any minute it ends and it's over. You know, and you're watching players, you know, I mean, these guys are phenomenal athletes, but, you know, they're out there doing things that they, you know, I mean, they were dragging. I saw the highlights of the 5th overtime, and, I mean, you could just tell these guys were feeling it. You know, they hadn't played in so long. They're back in the bubble. You know, they're rolling along, and you get a damn 5 overtime game. But, I you know, it just – I don't kind of understand it. you know, you were the, you know, you're the college graduate here. You got to be able to help me out with these things. You know, you could have media classes.
Well, you know, you've got to imagine it becomes more of a, like an entitlement type thing, doesn't it?
Like,
I'm only supposed to work.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that could be part of it, even though I think that only applies technically for about a very small percentage of America. You know, mainly East Coasters or people who actually have family here that came over from the England and stuff like that. But, you know, I think that's just part of it. They get so used, they're accustomed to not having to work. You know, you do a radio show and, you know, think about Kaplan. Although he's probably the only one that I've never heard complain about, you know, extra innings or times like that. And, you know, up until recently, Kaplan probably had, he still has one of the craziest schedules. I mean, I think it's a lot better for him now, but you think back to the WGN days, I mean, this guy was covering baseball, you know, Cubs games. And then, you know, if he was an early game, he was rushing back to, I'm sure, I don't know how long it took, but going back to, you know, the WGN studios to host his radio, his late night radio show. And then getting up in the morning and doing the TV stuff for, you know, Comcast Sportsnet and, you know, kind of going back and forth, you know, doing the late games, doing everything. He's probably the only man I've ever really heard complain about it. You know, and he was working, you know, probably, what, 14 to 16 hours a day sometimes, all scattered about throughout the day. And, you know, when you're in his position now, I think his radio show is only like 2 or 3 hours long every day. But some of the guys get caught up in that, and that's what they want. You know, and it's like, well, if you don't want to cover the sports and it's too much of a hassle, then get the hell out. You know, not everyone's going. You know, and I think the other part of it is everyone wants Joe Buck's job. You know, I don't really know if he's broadcast, you know, working for the Cardinals. But, I mean, think about it. If you could have anyone's job, who would you want? You want Joe Buck's job. You know, you get the national games. You work Sundays. Get paid a ton of money, you know, and I think that's part of the issue. Is everyone wants Joe Buck's shot. And I know you're not a big fan of him. You know, I know you're not his biggest fan or anything, but at the same point, he does have a pretty sweet gig, does he not?
Yeah, no, you know, he's definitely got a good, you know, but, you know, to be fair, I mean, there's a lot of work involved there. You know, I mean, he's doing the football games, he's doing the national baseball games, and he's doing the Cardinal games.
Yeah.
So, oh, you know, even though, like I said, I don't like him, you know, not that I don't like him, I just know he's a good announcer. You know, there's a lot of work involved there. So,
yeah, but I think what makes it the dream job, though, too, is, you know, he doesn't have to write. Where a lot of these people still have to write.
So, you know, yeah, well, you know, and, well, like, the weirdest part is even with listening to these guys complain, you know, is obviously, you know, like I mentioned, the games are in the bubble, so you're not at the game. You can't go to cover the game. So you're actually in the comfort of your own home watching the game. You know, so you can be in your sweats or your pajamas or whatever the hell you want to wear. You know, I think they're doing like a video press conference afterwards, but, you know, even so, you're on your webcam. Nobody's really going to notice what the hell's going on there unless, you know, you get some idiot walking in the background like Urban Meyer had the other day when they were asking about the college football season being canceled. That was kind of humorous, but, you know, it's just, you know, you're not talking, you know, I mean, go out and work for a living for a day. You know, go do an 8-hour day, you know, on a garbage truck or something, and then tell me what job you'd rather have. You know, would you rather watch five overtime hockey, or would you rather go out and pick up the crap people throw away? So, and I get it. You know, garbage men are paid pretty well, and they should be for what they have to deal with. But yeah, I mean, you know, what would you rather do? You want to be a sports writer, you know, and cover that 5-hour hockey game, or do you want to go pick up garbage? You know, I know what I would rather do.
Yeah, but you like garbage. Oh, man.
Right. Actually, I do like garbage. I could, you know, I could find furniture to sell online. Oh, wait, that was a terrible feature. I didn't say that.
Yeah. But no, I think that's one of the oldest things. It's like, you just get out of it. Go do what you wanted to do. That you didn't have the balls to take on. You know, because that's, I don't know, one of the things that is annoying to me, you know, you don't always have sports guys. You know, you have broadcast journalists, and they want to a lot of times do the sports, oh, because it's fun, it's easier than, you know, trying to cover elections and things like that. And then they realize, oh, they have to work.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just show up to the stadium, you know, get your backstage passes and walk around like you're a hotshot. And everyone's like, oh, hey, there's so-and-so. You know, or Buster Olney getting stuck in some random spot in a stadium. You know, you could have been John Kruk being sent around the stadium, kind of like a, treated him like a goof, almost like Chris Farley, if you think about it. But, you know, I mean, it's like, just go, just leave. If you're that upset about extra innings, overtime, then stop doing the job. There's someone else who will take that position and love it.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of how I feel. It's like, really, we're going to listen to you complain about being a sports writer. You know, didn't you realize when you took the job that you would have to cover games and occasionally a baseball game will go into extra innings or a football game, like football, hockey, or basketball game will go into overtime, and in some cases they will go into multiple overtimes? You know, and it doesn't happen that often. I mean, it's not like we're going to get 5 overtime games. You know, this may be the only one we get the entire playoffs. But, boy, they sure took their opportunity to cry about it. You know, oh, the NHL has to do something about this. I can't believe this. So, it's just, you know, I don't know. Makes me goofy when I have to listen to these guys cry like that about a job that I would have killed to have had, you know, many years ago. I also did realize, Dan, I've been listening to the local sports station overnight while I'm at work in my office, while I'm doing my paperwork and stuff. And I realized why I stopped listening to it. You know, the overnight host is a guy who's been on Chicago radio for, wow, probably 30, maybe even 40 years. And, you know, obviously he's very full of himself. But I realized the other day that he talks down to everybody who calls into him. And it's just, even if somebody makes a good point, he talks down to him. And it's like, well, I understand why I stopped listening to this. I don't talk down to you, do I?
Now, is that the CBS guy?
It's the score guy, the overnight score guy.
Oh, yeah, same.
I didn't want to do it. I'm going 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 to do it. I'